there's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife, colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
Hey, everyone. It's Estelle Herndon, political reporter for The New York Times. When I became a journalist, I made a promise to my readers, like the way the doctors take an oath to their patients. I committed to bringing the truth to light, no matter which party, business, organization, or person I'm reporting on. I have to be persistent. I have to do research, and I have to push back when someone tries to hide or spin the facts. And I know I'm going to write stories that both Democrats and Republicans don't like. But that's what The New York Times has been doing for more than a century, and that's what we're going to keep doing. We believe the public deserves the right to make up their mind based on the facts. So if you want to support this kind of work, you can subscribe to The New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
So we're in a meeting, and Joe says to the people in the meeting who are all on Zoom and who are all, I say this respectfully, 25. They're all children, they're all young. Joe says, well, John's been at The New York Times for 20 years. And I just want to say, I have not been at The New York Times for 20 years. Let's say it's 15. Let's call it a smooth 15. It's like 14 and change.
As I said, I was rounding up.
That is not how rounding works.
If it's 15, that's close enough.
Can this just be the intro? I'm like not even kidding. Fine, let's just go right into it. Welcome to Popcast Deluxe, your acting a smoochie of weekly cultural review. I'm John Caramonica.
I'm Joe Coscarelli.
Joe has spent most of the early part of today dragging me.
Only out of love. And admiration.
Sound like these weird text messages that are going around. It's not really how it works. This week on Deluxe, the YouTube video spinoff of Actual Popcast, nytimes.com/popcast, we are going to be talking about the albums of the year thus far.
Albums of the year to us.
Same thing.
Yes. The only stuff that matters.
Should I take this out? It was on my ghost face for a minute there, but that's over. We're done with that. We're going to talk about records from Ice Spice, Peso Pluma, 100 Gex, a whole bunch of folks.
Some stuff you've heard of, some stuff you haven't heard of, maybe?
They've heard.
Depends who they is.
Are you in the Discord?
It's true. The Discord has heard.
The Discord's heard. We're going to cover a lot of ground today. We're going to go tag team, back and forth, like EPMD. I also want to say, we recently worked on a huge project. We talked about it a tiny bit last week. 50 rappers, 50 stories. Karen said it was 500 plus hours on Twitter.
500 hours of people power.
Totally true. I would say more. We've been working on this for many months. We talked about it last week, but I do want to say this coming Sunday, the 6th, the Sunday Arts and Leisure section of the New York Times, the print New York Times, which still exists, the whole Arts and Leisure section is the 50 Rappers Project. Not 3 pages, 7 pages, the entire section.
A full takeover.
I don't remember. This is not a common thing. So we feel extremely grateful and lucky. There is going to be a tremendous amount of information in that section. I'm not saying it's a collector's item because there's going to be a lot of them, but I'm going to collect a bunch of them.
And so will Grailed.com.
Yo, seriously, if out here reselling, also my guy Rapzines, I'm going to send you one. Like, don't worry. Like, we got
New Face. We got you.
New Face. Yeah, absolutely. Smithsonian Hip Hop Collection. We'll send one to them too.
Go to your bodega.
Buy the New York Times.
In print on Sunday.
Yeah, seriously. It's a bargain, frankly. Like, this is not Spawn. For the New York Times, not Spawn. It's a bargain.
And then go back and listen to the audio podcast, Behind the Scenes.
Behind the Scenes. It's me, Joe, Murph, Elena, talking about a bunch of interviews and like listening to rappers rap other rapper songs in like as tokens of affection. Pitbull rapping AZ. Literally will never happen to me before or will never happen to me since. But anyway, there's a print thing. It's going to be luxurious.
We're really proud of it. Obviously.
Yeah, like we talked a little bit about this on regular podcasts, but it's like we're like it's a heavy and emotional and meaningful thing. And when we have a physical one, I'm sure we'll just bring it back and like hold it up and be like, look at this. Anyway, this is an old Earl She shirt in honor of the 50 Rappers Project.
John, you been listening to any music this year?
Barely. No, I've been like trying to chase MC Hammer for 3 months.
We're still looking for MC Hammer, exactly. By the way.
MC Hammer, come on Podcast Deluxe, dog. Like, come on Podcast Deluxe. I've got some stuff. You've got some stuff.
Yeah.
I think you're going to kick it off.
Yeah, but we're going to start in a middle ground. We're going to start with 100 Gex, the second
not
album.
Not 99.
The second album by 100 Gex, 10,000 Gex.
Yes.
Came out early this year, 2023. Mm-hmm. After, I would say a bit of a delay. Yeah, I would say fair to call it much anticipated.
But also, I feel like it was going to come out last. Like, it's this is not.
Yes. Oh, and I was chasing this duo around. This is, for lack of a better term, hyper pop duo, 100 Gex, Dylan Brady, Laura Less, both producers, both vocalists, longtime friends, sort of. Really kicked off whatever this little micro movement of hyperpop 2.0 post PC Music, Sophie. I call that 1.0.
First album came out in
2019.
My number one album of that year.
Yes.
A very special record.
Yes.
Unerringly bizarre. So reckless. Such a.
Just, and really shifted the landscape.
And also, you know what it reminds me of? Took me 4 years to come up with this analogy. Okay. You ever see, like, I know you don't. No, maybe you watch late night television, like where they have like infomercials.
Not like you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dark.
I'm a cord cutter.
Those, I know, I'm a replugger. Those choppers, you know how like you like chopping salad or something?
Yeah.
It chops under it.
It's a rapid chopper.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first 100 Gex album.
Yeah. It's an infomercial salad chopper.
It is.
Yeah. You put your garlic in there and it's minced. Yeah,
you put your 1990s club music in there. And you put minced. Your screamo in there. Yeah. Yeah. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Tell me about this album. You interviewed them on this album cycle. Yeah. So tell me
many
a little bit about
times,
them.
Follow them around every time this album was supposed to come out. Shout out Bradley and Nick. You know, we were on a journey. And Cody too. Cody was on this journey.
Yeah.
Gex manager.
Cody definitely.
And I think it took them a long time to figure out what they wanted to do and say, especially sonically, after, like I said, like really sort of scrambling the way that especially independent underground online music sounded. It's really blown out sound, a sort of like you say, you know, the joke is like in a blender, where every genre in a blender, which like they love making fun of because that became the cliche about them. And funnily enough, like when they stripped everything back, like what they landed on was like big riffs. Like big guitar riffs and new metal, really?
Right, which is probably, if you were to make a list of all the sort of like pop or pop-leaning movements of the last 20 years, it's probably the one on that list that's most sonically and ideologically commensurate with what they were doing on the first day. It's like the kind of like, somehow the thing that's on the other pole is like somehow the same thing.
Yeah.
It's that. It's like the photo negative in a weird way.
Yeah. So rap rock is like.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
A big touchstone, I think, for Gex. Sort of, you know, trailer park chic. Sorry. Truck stop chic, I think, is more apt. You know, some Korn, some Cypress Hill.
Should we have put Jonathan Davis in the 50 Rappers? Ooh, wow. That was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, we got Violent J.
We did get Violent J. Shout out Violent J. Incredible stories.
So what I think is interesting is that there was a lot of playing with sort of rap signifiers and tropes and sonic touches on the early Gex stuff. And they basically stripped that all away. On this next album, 10,000 Gex. And what they kept was the guitars turned riffs up in the mix. A lot of live drums instead of program drums. Okay. Josh Fries, sort of big modern alt-rock session drummer, drums on a lot of his albums, really, really hits. You can feel that kit, you know? And then ska, and there's still ska.
What's the song you want to play? Because I have a few things. I'm actually just more curious what you want to play as a representative song.
Well, representative is tough.
That's what I'm saying. It is very all over.
But let's just listen to a little bit of Frog on the Floor, because this is just like...
Again, okay, archetypal, but not representative.
Yes. Sounds like a novelty song about a frog going to a party, but is actually quite moving as a metaphor, or not.
Not. So, okay.
That's one sound on this album.
That is. There, and I will say, I don't like this album as much as the previous album.
Tough act to follow.
Very tough. But also, like, I'm wondering if I had the reaction to this album that most people had to the first album, which is just like, you know, like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It feels like a weird Owl album to me. Like a weird, like a Dr. Demento album.
There's some of that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, like
Most Wanted Person in the United States, like that vibe specifically.
More than, well, I feel like there are a lot of moments that are designed to draw attention to their unusualness. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the first album, the chaos didn't feel. The thing that was like meta about the first album was its relationship to pop music. The thing that feels meta about this album is its relationship to itself.
Okay.
There's a shift there. There's an awareness there. Mm-hmm. And I found it a little bit disengaged, or it took me out of the moment when I was listening to it. Because I felt like I was like second and third guessing the intent a lot.
I did get the sense from spending time with Dylan and Laura that they were a bit self-conscious about all that they've been shouldered with by both fans and the press.
I feel bad.
I mean, yeah. And I think like that, it's real sort of sophomore slump, not a slump necessarily, but real
sophomore shift. Sophomore, maybe should we coin that?
Yeah, the sophomore shift. And basically like the baggage of when you come to represent something mm-hmm. to a large group of people. So I think that definitely affected the writing and recording of this album. But I think ultimately like a lot of bangers on here. Like we saw the live show. The crowd is huge.
Oh my God, the live show. We had so much fun.
We had a lot of
fun. Shout out, I don't remember their names, but the people who...
Took a photo with you?
Yeah. That was cute.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. That's right when I saw you at this. Like, I hadn't seen you.
Yeah, I walked up to John in the pit at 100 Gex as he was posing for a photo with a podcast listener, I assume.
That's correct. Great to see you.
Yeah. So, what songs are working for you here? Like, where do you feel like they sort of move the ball forward
okay.
for themselves?
Obviously, I really like Dumbest Girl Alive.
Yeah, so the intro song.
Just like big and
classic
slamming.
Just listen to a little bit of Dumbest Girl Alive.
Throw in there, Dumbest Girl Alive. You know what I really liked? I got my tooth removed.
More ska.
Yeah. I really, really liked that. And I liked that it was, like you mentioned about Frog on the Floor, it's like unexpectedly sentimental.
Yes. It's like, is it a breakup song or is it about dental work?
Yeah. And almost, I would say, like beyond idiosyncratically sentimental, like its sentiment is like unstable.
Right. Because it's going back and forth.
And also, I'm going back and forth as I'm listening to it.
Right.
What is this? And the thing with Gex is because the expectation set around Gex is so high, as a listener and as a critical listener, like I'm constantly assessing it against old Gex, against what I think new Gex was maybe supposed to be. Like I feel like I'm listening to it on three, four levels simultaneously. To be candid, I haven't listened to this album a bunch since it came out or since we got it, whenever that was. But when I was listening to it in preparation for this, I felt more warmly towards it. Because I think some of those secondary or tertiary questions have been soothed or at least addressed,
yes.
checked off the box. So
I do think it's interesting that this seemed like a moment where Gex was poised for a crossover moment, maybe.
Just like...
And Hollywood Baby arguably like could be that. It's a basically like a TRL style pop punk song from 2001 or whatever. And I think, you know, it had a little burn on alternative radio and, you know, it has a huge hook and people love singing it live.
Alternative radio?
Oh, yeah. But
shout all my K-Rock heads.
Yeah, but it's not, they're not, you know, they're not in the top 40. And that's fine. And maybe they will be someday or maybe they won't. Like they can headline totally festivals fine. For the end of, till the end of time.
That was really instructive about the show we went to. I don't know if they need to be on Z100, but two nights in that room, 2,000 or 3,000 people a night, absolutely losing it, dressed in costume. You know, I've used the phrase before, but like mainstream cult artists, they might be moving in that direction.
Yes.
And that's a great direction to move
in. It feels sustainable. And I think some of the pressure is off now, even if the commercial explosion right, hasn't happened yet. Artistically, I think they're going to be freer now than they were making this album.
Can we talk about pressure though?
Yeah. Pressure. What do you got? Pressure makes diamonds.
Does it? Well, when you said a minute ago, the expectation of who they were, believed that they were going to be. I was thinking about someone who's on my list for today, which is Skrillex. And Skrillex has had probably like 2 or 3 distinct eras by this point, not counting
Warped Tour.
Not counting Warped Tour, post-hardcore Skrillex.
Yeah.
Skrillex had gone away for a while and reemerged a couple months ago with 2 albums. They're called Don't Get Too Close and Quest for Fire.
Both great hilarious.
Names. Yeah, great. Yes, great names.
One is a video game and one is an away message.
Yeah. One has like a little bit more, leans a little bit more on vocalists, but they're, you know, they are, I wouldn't even say that they are radical, unusual albums for Skrillex, but they do feel a little bit freer and a little bit more collaborative. And I do think like Skrillex had that moment with Justin Bieber where you're like, is Skrillex the most important pop music producer of the next 5 years?
I mean, certainly the Nice Monsters, Scary Sprites. Sorry, I reversed that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Certainly that drop is among
it's the
moments.
Defining. Yeah, yeah. We should do Diary of a Song, that drop.
Yeah, just the drop.
Just the drop.
Yeah.
And so when these albums came, I was almost like, I don't even know do I care about Skrillex? Like, is this a thing? And the other thing that we should say about Skrillex is Skrillex has lately been in the orbit of Fred again. We should just put Fred again in the headline.
I mean, then we'll Fred just, again everything.
Yeah, like just, oh man, Fred again.
Fred again, the Olivia Rodrigo of 2023.
Fred again, come on Popcast Deluxe. We would love to come here and make a song.
For real though.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Think, yeah, actually though, that's a good idea. Like check with us in 6 months when we have Fred again on the show. So Fred again has somehow managed to make arena dance music feel incredibly warm, interpersonally intimate. I genuinely like most of Fred Again's music. I don't like it as much as I like Skrillex's music, but I like it. And the thing that Fred Again has been able to do is like, I'm pulling in the Streets. I'm pulling in Skrillex.
Fortet,
you know? And he's building this community. It sounds so cheesy, but he's building a community around these big events. I was really sad to not be able to make the Madison Square Garden show that was like announced a day before. I think something is like, I don't know if it's revived Skrillex or whatever, or if Skrillex has just been sitting on these records. It's tough to say. But there is a tremendous amount of very good Skrillex music that also feels ambitious on these albums. So first of all, there's a group of people on these records.
Yep.
Bieber, Pink Pantherist, Missy Elliott.
And sort of low-key. These are low-key collabs.
Very low-key.
Yeah.
Missy Elliott, do you think they gave the kid, the Ratatata kid, does he get publishing on this record?
I hope so.
I mean, I'm just genuinely asking. Yeah. If you represent the Ratatata kid, like, tell me if you got publishing. I want to play a record that he did with my guy, Prentice. My first feature in NYT Kids.
Oh, right.
We did that thing.
Yeah, we did a chart
we did for a NYT chart, Kids.
Yeah.
But like my first feature in NYT Kids was on Prentice. Love Prentice. Prentice is on one of these albums with Anthony Green. The song is 3 a.m. So let's get into 3 a.m.
Anthony Green of Seosin.
As far as I know, unless there's somebody else out here.
I mean, that's real.
That's
AbsoluteBunk.net.
That's what I'm core. Saying. Absolutely. There's also another really good song, which we'll see if we play. It's called Rumble. Fred again is producing on this. Flo Dan is toasting. I don't think there was anything on these two albums that shocked me as much as shocked me that I could still be so into Skrillex music. Like, I remembered seeing him at, like, wherever I saw him in New Jersey in, like, 2011 or 2012, like, the Starland Ballroom or something. I can't even remember what the venue was, but it's, like, 1,000 kids.
I miss Starland Ballroom.
Absolutely losing it. Yeah. And it was one of the rowdiest shows when I was still covering shows 3-4 times a week. It was one of the rowdiest shows I'd ever been to. So intense. This reminded me so much of that raw Skrillex feeling.
Run for them life. When I step into the jungle, say they wanna group up. They better move up, never gonna win a Royal Rumble. But when I come through, you know what I love to. I send shots for your team and leader. I make a witness, decide to vacate. The war's getting sweet, just like a Ribena.
Although I do think that Skrillex might be out of the business of shocking people. And that he's okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's somehow like this is heritage music somehow.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like it's both. It is both like, oh, wow, these Skrillex records really hit. And also like, damn, he's been hitting for a while. And that's great. So anyway, these records kind of came and went.
But again, I think that going back to Gex, who also collaborate with Skrillex, I think there's a similarity there in that a lot of pressure came to represent a subgenre that they didn't necessarily claim or feel a part of. And now freer and better off for it. Artistically and commercially.
I totally agree. So anyway, these records came and went. I don't, you know, there's no singles. Like, you know.
Cool.
I agree.
Good for Skrillex.
It's the coolest thing possible to basically be like, I played The Garden on like 4 hours.
Surprise show at The Garden.
4 hours notice with like two of my best friends. And then I dropped two albums that are pretty much smangers. And then I just sort of was like,
No press.
Yeah.
Skrillex, come on, Pop the Gas Deluxe.
Honestly.
With Fred again.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine? They can have the chairs.
Yeah, yeah. We'll sit on the floor.
We'll sit in the middle. They can have the chairs. So anyway, great move. Great albums. Very excited.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
What do you got?
Young Nudie?
Woo!
I mean, this is like...
Talk about fun rappers.
Yeah. Young Nudie is all of the menace of 21 Savage with...
More fun?
Like,
way more fun.
Yeah, with like all of the bounce and humor of like... I don't know. I'm in 50 like rappers.
Early
mode.
Gucci?
Yeah, like the, it's a... Yes. Nudie, the, you know, the biggest... cult rapper in Atlanta of the moment, not named Playboi Carti, you know, leaks, internet fandom, you know, this archetype of rapper is big right now, but also having a little bit of a breakout moment with Peaches and Eggplant with Savage on the record. Incredible video, probably not safe for work, but let's watch and listen to a little bit of it.
Watch or listen to it, depending.
Going hell, I'm on it when I give a D. Going home, but I gotta keep it P. Gotta go home to where it's green. Yeah, she gonna bump and boom. She gonna make that booty move. I'm in that big out of home in the mood. And we be geeking like something to the moon. We on some shit that we don't pull to do. One of my bro hoes came out the ooh. I don't know, but that hoe with the ooh. Shit, we're leaking.
So that's Peaches and Eggplants featuring 21 Savage.
Album is called Gumbo.
Album is called Gumbo. This is going to be a running thread through the rap albums on this episode, but like the beat selection is just out of this world.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if you have a favorite on here. They're all so good. You can just let this wash over you. All the songs are named for food and specifically a lot of junk food, which obviously speaks to
us.
There's a record called McChicken on here. There's Hot Grease. There's Fish and Chips. And then there's some vegetables. I know you don't know that much about those.
I was unfamiliar. I had to Google those.
But opening track, Brussels sprouts, banger.
I like Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. This is just like riding around in your car in the summertime. Music and yeah, I keep coming back to it. Call a scroll, I hope we spend on me up, yo, I be finished. Get some money, stay up in your lane, cause I be coming, scamish, spin back, Taylor Bank, you with it. Watch your back, your folks will get it. Type of money, slam about spinning, trapping, making money, dig it, dig it. Peso Pluma,
who I feel like we've been talking about and we're gonna keep talking about, and it only seems to be getting bigger, put out an album, Genesis. A couple weeks ago, there's been a bunch of Peso Pluma music this year prior to this. He's on tour right now. So if you're unaware, Peso Pluma is the biggest star in regional Mexican music, or I should say contemporary regional Mexican music, which depending what your framing is, música mexicana, corridos tumbados, what he is doing is taking the framework of traditional Mexican music, which, you know, up until 10 years ago, maybe, or even a little bit or even more recently, was roughly working with like the same song structures, band structures, so on and so forth, and is doing to it what people have done with reggaeton or bachata, modernizing it, bringing a hip-hop influence, not simply in the vocalizations, but also in the presentation. You know, this feels like the same kind of kids who are making rap records are making these kinds of records.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of a legacy over the last few years of the Rancho Humilde label, Natan El Cano, Fuerza Regida, who I've written about before. These videos are incredible. The vocals are very, very, they're sentimental because the genres that are being pulled from here are like often very deeply sentimental genres. The subject matter maybe is a little bit more hip hop than is happening in the older form of the music. There's this sort of allusions to narco corridos, which is a thing that has been going on for quite a long time, although he seems to be trying to move away from that as he gets closer to the pop mainstream. He did a collaboration on this record with Natan El Cano. It's called PRC. I was encouraged here because I think when Natan and Fuerza Regida, when they were starting to do this, they were getting a lot of pushback from like older singers, more traditionalists. And I was a little bit worried with this next wave, Peso Pluma, Grupo Frontera, Young Lucas, etc. I was a little bit worried that there was going to be some intergenerational beef, inter-microgenerational beef. And I think there might be a little bit. There's been some tension around JOP from Fuerza Regida, like unclear if what's going on there. But from what I can gather, at least there is some microgenerational cross-bonding going on here.
There's also a wave to ride.
That's right. If you were the wave and then you identify the next one, this is like very Drake-like of Natan to basically be like, I'm bringing you in, I'm down to work with you, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of interesting records. There's also a very good Peso Pluma song that's not on this album. It's with El Alfa that I like a lot, that they play a lot on La Mega here, which I'm always hearing and very, very excited about.
Big, big, big
huge
song.
Dominican demo star. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's moving seamlessly into like the ecosystem of Spanish language superstar pop cross genre. And what we've seen the last year or two especially is these things that used to be very, very siloed, depending on the sonic world and the community that it comes from, are everybody's working together. That's very much a Bad Bunny thing.
Of course. And the style is also prevalent. I think I noticed this earlier this summer, but the combination of the Peso Pluma mullet and the Morgan Wallen mullet.
Wow.
Like, the, you know, you want to write this for Styles, it's all yours, John. But the men's haircut game, the mullet is like, and I think because it takes culture a little bit, like for it to trickle down. But like, you remember the Bieber hair moment, you know, and maybe the Strokes hair moment before that. Like, I just think like,
you saw those photos of me from the early 2000s.
The collision of the Peso Pluma moment and the Morgan Wallen moment is having an intense
literally
effect
can't
on male hair grooming.
Okay. I literally can't believe you put both those people in the same sentence.
But I'm saying.
But that's what podcast looks is for.
Yes.
Anyway, Peso Pluma, Genesis.
Is there another Peso Pluma song from Genesis that stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. The one that I find myself going back to, it's 77, Peso Pluma and Eladio Carrion, who was born in America. He's Puerto Rican, he's born in America, rapper. He also had a record with Future recently, Mbappe. That's an athlete.
Yep.
Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, that's a French soccer player.
There you go.
Yeah.
Future hopped on that remix. I really like that song a lot. So this is a collaboration with Eladio Carrion and Peso Pluma 77. You want to listen to it a little bit?
Let's go.
Let's get active.
So we talked about this a little bit on a previous Popcast Deluxe episode. It was a song of the week. This is V's, the Detroit rapper.
V's. Welcome to V's Weekly. You're V's-ing V's of music, V's, and V's-icism.
But V's, it's like V's is having a moment. V's is having a moment.
V's is having it's a true. Moment.
We got more V's content coming later this summer.
I know.
one more piece of V's content.
Oh, man.
Ganger. First V's album in a couple years. He had a mixtape in 2019, Navy Wavy, and didn't put out any official music since then. You know, some YouTube stuff, some one-offs, but built a real following. The moment I realized, like, you know, I like watching V's YouTube videos, but the moment I realized that it was translating was I saw him open for Babyface Ray earlier this summer, Webster Hall. You know, an opening slot for a non-tri-state rapper at a New York show is not normally a moment to shine. It's like, you know,
15
you get
minutes
it.
In and out.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, you rap over the vocal.
Yeah.
You wander.
Yeah.
No charm, no nothing.
V's not a guy who seems very interested in fame, released his album independently, but people who came to see Babyface Ray also came to see V's,
yeah,
and they
sure.
knew every word of the unreleased stuff. Everyone taping every moment, rapping along. This guy is like slurring punchlines, this very woozy music, very, you know, very syrupy in all senses. And just really, yeah, just really worms his way into your brain with his sly little descriptions. And there's the sort of clever, you know, chest puff shit talk records.
Yeah.
And then there's a few that are like genuinely moving. You know, there's stuff on the second half of Ganger. Safe 2 has like a very, you know, very melodic mm-hmm. guitar beat. And yeah, he has a sly sentimentality in addition to his humor. So yeah, let's listen to a little bit of Safe 2.
Great.
Little bitch used to wear tight clothes and she been with the kid, got better taste. Right, he used to take me to the studio, now he used to tell me if I want to, I could grab the ranch. Only thing different, our schedule changed. You heard what I said, but don't tell what I say. Tell you I'm a real big player, man. Like, make bitch walk from here to LA. I'm getting dizzy, I never on the plane. Went from MIA to the A, back in my A. See all the same hoes, they ready to go.
You like V's?
I do. I sort of, I don't know if I like him on like the micro level that you like him.
Yeah.
He's like very clearly a good rapper.
Yeah.
He's just like legitimately very good. And it's like, especially like coming off of our 50 Rappers project, I'm just like, it's not, I want to hear some rapping.
Yeah. You know, like, and secret, like I said, sort of secretly good rapping. Lil Yachty, secretly good rapper.
Sometimes.
When he wants to be. He has a song, he has a song called Boat Interlude on this V's album.
The number one Detroit rap fan.
Yes.
Not sitting in this chair or on Nobel.
Right.
Is Lil Yachty.
But Yachty was in Detroit and in Flint so early.
Yeah.
When he did that mixtape a few years back.
Yeah, Michigan Boat Boy.
And it's nice to see it sort of coming full circle and him still messing with those guys in the same way and them putting him on and him putting them on and like just real regional rap harmony, which like I know we can all get behind.
And also, you know, regional rap, you know, we're back to like 2006.
Yes. Yes.
Regional rap blogs. You're going to start a regional rap blog?
Yeah, maybe I should. Back to Tumblr? Are we going back to Tumblr?
Absolutely. Like, we should absolutely be doing regional rap blogs right now.
The last thing I wanted to say
like
about...
Like, the Say Cheese Tumblr you should be doing.
Yeah, but only posse content. None of this tabloid
stuff.
That's
right. No.
Last thing I wanted to say about V's was just the one line of his that sticks in my head all the time because I relate to it on some levels, where he says...
Won't believe this hoodie 1500 without no logo on it.
It's just like,
show me the garment that you have that's $1,500. I have
a couple of low-key nice things.
Tell me what it is. This is also a fashion podcast.
Not a safe space for me. I don't feel safe.
Okay, so I'm just going to have to spot them. And when you wear them, and I'm going to have to be like, okay, that's a $1,500 garment.
With no logo on it. 15 is probably a stretch.
What's the top? Give me a number.
You know, I wear some acne.
Yeah, we're fine. Okay.
Coats are expensive.
That's not what V's is rapping about.
I know,
about.
But I just, you know.
Okay, that's not what V's is. Sorry, V's. I'd like to apologize to V's, who is clearly rapping about brands that are not Acne Studios.
Sure.
Sorry.
But it's hard to find plain clothes.
Yeah, I know.
What else you got? What are you listening to?
This album... is actually, might be my favorite album of the year so far.
Okay.
It's certainly up there. It's definitely like top three. This is Asake. Work of art. Asake is a Nigerian singer. He is making, I mean, it's not down the middle Afrobeats at all. It is much more sunshiny, emotionally sentimental. It's pulling from a couple of different generations of Nigerian music. He had an album that was out last year. It's called Mr. Money with the Vibe.
Incredible title.
Such a good name. That was on my albums list last year. This album to me feels like it's the album you make when you know you hit on a good idea and doors are opening to you. So you have like a slightly more refined version of the songs or of the sound, but you're not violating it at all, and you haven't gotten so big that like you're making a song with Peso Pluma, which like, please make a song with Peso Pluma.
Sounds like a good class,
right? But you know what I mean, you're not quite there yet, but it is a slightly bigger, slightly cleaned up version of what was going on the first album. Let's listen to, I mean, there's a bunch. Sunshine is really good. There's a bunch of great songs. Let's listen to 230. So I'm struck by a couple things. I'm not like a particularly sentimental person in when it comes to listening, not in this context, in life.
Okay.
Yeah, not in this
context. I was looking at you skeptically.
No, I know. I mean, well, Joe knows my life. I found this album the sentiment on this album is so tactile. The use of background choral vocals, the tension between this kind of like ethereal, almost like praise music, married with like incredibly modern harmony, incredibly modern melody. It felt like an album. It's hard to say, like, it almost feels like an album that's always been here. Mm. It feels foundational for the thing that it's modern, that it's the modern version of. It's a very imprecise way to describe it. But I was struck over and over again every time I've listened to it of feeling like I had absorbed music like this earlier in my life. It really plays like it doesn't feel like you listen to a lot of contemporary Afrobeats and you hear the technology. You're hearing the autotune, the thing, like you're hearing the modernity of it. This does not feel that way at all.
Right. Although it's classic,
but it's very obviously new and fresh. But the actual core essence of it feels classic, throwback, raw, foundational, bottom heavy.
I mean, I think that's a huge credit to the production, which has blown me away on this album. Like, it's so good, so crisp, and also, yeah, like you're saying, like intimate And yeah, it just sounds really good.
I play it a lot in my car.
Yeah, sounds great in the car.
Especially with this terrible weather we're having, so hot, windows open, driving around. Like, I feel the sunshine like beating down into the car, but then I feel like there's competing sunshine coming out of the stereo and like beaming out of the car. It's a wild record. It feels, it's like a swaddle. Like, I feel enveloped by it in a way that I can't think of an equivalent record that I've felt enveloped by in recent years.
Did you have this high of hopes going in? Like, were you a big Asake fan before this?
I really liked the last album, but the one thing about the last album that gave me a little bit of pause was I was like, it almost felt a little bit brittle, where I was like, I don't, like, are we at the outer edge of whatever this idea is? Have we like squeezed every possible whatever out of this sense or sensibility, I should say.
Right.
So I was excited when the new record came out, but I don't know that I had like high expectations. And if anything, I was fearful of him getting pulled towards more conventional sounds.
Right.
Like this, you know, like, look, Rema has a huge hit on the Hot 100 and has for a long time. Burna Boy is obviously doing incredible, huge things. I don't love all the Burna Boy. So I like Burna Boy, but yeah. I don't know if these albums are, I don't know if they're as good as the earlier records.
Yeah.
Like, the earliest records to me are like the most powerful. These are clearly the biggest, but those, I think the early ones are the best.
Yeah.
You know, when someone starts to get a little bit of attention, you're sort of like, okay, are you going to get forced or pulled? Because his sound is not conventional in that space. So are you going to get forced or pulled into something that's like less forgiving? And the fact that he like held firm is actually so exciting, and then doubled down and made it crisper and more beautiful. That's really encouraging.
This actually, what you're saying reminds me of the next album on my list, the J-Hus album, the new one, Beautiful and Brutal Yard, came out a couple weeks ago. J-Hus, British artist of Gambian descent, sort of at this point, like an elder statesman of UK rap, and, you know, sort of Afro swing, a little bit of drill. But like you're saying about Asake, has sort of had, you know, huge, obviously, in the UK, not quite had the international crossover that you might have expected at least a few years ago, and keeps finding new ways to do something that feels like his sound, but is still original enough.
Totally agree.
His last album, Big Conspiracy, to me, one of the big musical victims of the pandemic. I think like a great album that would have had a huge summer had it been released.
Had there been a summer.
Right. Had it been released at a different point in human history. This new one, you know, anchored by a Drake single, Who Told You, which one of the better Drake features, I think, in recent memory. You know, Drake been a big J-Hus supporter for a while, but they really gel on this one. We'll play a little bit of that.
How we're going to listen to?
Yeah, let's play a little bit of that.
Ecstasy. Who told you bad man don't dance? Who told you gangsters don't dance? Even with a whip on my hip, I dance. Bad man, take another sip and dance. Two left feet, don't trip and dance. The girl want me, I might give her a chance. Give her a look, she give me a glance. She wore a tight dress just to enhance.
And the important thing to note here for like close listeners of J-Hus is that it's his first album really without his go-to producer, J5. And I don't really know what's going on there. I'm not deep enough on the local blogs.
On those message boards.
Yeah, but
let Joe into the J-Hus Discord.
Yeah, but I find the production here, like I said, to be a nice evolution while still sticking with the traditional J-Hus sound, even though he sort of switched up his personnel. A lot of good features on here. Popcorn's on this album, Naira Marley on this album. And yeah, it's just summertime music.
You know we are African bad man. Anywhere we go, we gotta stand strong. When they ask me where I come from, I tell them straight I'm an African. They gotta love me to the maximum. They need me like an oxygen. Nigerian, Gambian, Militarian, Malian. We gotta rise, we gotta never ever fall again. Tonight, I feel like I'm born again.
This podcast is supported by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Oh, I got some summertime music for you.
What do you got?
You remember Ice Spice?
Ooh.
It feels like 7 years ago.
The Like EP?
Yeah. Came out in January.
I think they just deluxed it.
They did deluxe it. Yes, that's correct.
How long is it now? Like 12 minutes?
Yeah. It is truly a hard rock. It is truly like a tsunami record. Like, you know,
Yeah.
You could play the Ice Spice EP 7 times during Popcast Deluxe.
All right.
We've talked about Ice Spice a bunch. There's not going to be a lot new to say about Ice Spice, but I do think it's important to acknowledge that this record came out in calendar 2023.
Which is wild.
It feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
The thing that actually feels wildest to me is I remember when I was interviewing Ice Spice, which I don't remember if it was in late December or January. It was somewhere. It was Coats On. But I just remember thinking, like, are we taking a huge swing here?
Well, this is what I was going to say. I was like, the prophecy was fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The prophecy of Munch was fulfilled.
And, you know, Ice Spice, you talk about like sneaky good rappers. Like, Ice Spice is like a sneaky good rapper. She's so easily dismissed. People are so terrible about female rappers. She's very easily dismissed. She's such a sneaky good rapper in terms of her relationship to the beat. Her pockets are really sharp. She really, really understands how to match the tone of a vocal to the tone of a production. Shout out Riot, an incredible producer.
Yes.
Probably in my mind, Riot is the best pop producer of like the last 12 months. Not the best hip hop producer, the best pop producer of the last 12 months.
And the partnership is really important here.
They totally get it. They're very much
in sync. She found her sound. She stuck with her guy.
Absolutely.
And they're riding together. Like, that's old school. No matter what you want to say about Ice Spice as an affront to traditional hip hop.
Which, like, is just if you check out 50 rappers,
yeah,
Ice, right. DJ Hollywood to Ice Spice. Yeah. That was intentional.
Right. But you know what I mean? Like, the fact that she has her guy. And even she's on a Taylor Swift song, Riot worked on her part of the song. You know, like, that's a partnership.
You've heard all the songs on this EP, but like, maybe some less than others. So like, we should listen to Actin' a Smoochie, which is just incredible. You've been acting a smoochie lately. I've been thinking that about you. You've been acting a smoochie lately.
He eating it up. Kitty on water, he beating it up. On fire, heating it up. Bitches be dirty, I'm cleaning them up. Give me a tissue. Why would I miss you when you was the issue? Don't wear the shoe if the shoe doesn't fit you. Only around me when it's beneficial.
So Ice Spice, here's the thing. There's 6 songs on the CP, 7.
Yeah,
maybe they added now. Yeah. They added the Nicki thing. But like, each of these records is a hit. Like, Actin' Smoochie is not an actual hit, but like, if they needed it to be a hit, it could basically
platinum
be
platinum on the block.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Boy's a Liar Part 2 with Pink Pantheress. Obviously, it was a huge record a couple months ago. So if I interviewed her in January, and it's now this episode is coming out in August, that's 7 months.
Yep.
In between then, she had a huge EP, a number, Boy's a Liar 2 went to number 1 or number 2?
Almost, yeah. Number 2, I think.
A huge, huge record. Now a Taylor Swift collaboration. Again, this has been 7 months.
Yeah.
And I remember the conversation we were having in like November, December of like,
What's the moment?
Too early? Question mark? No. Anyway, Ice Spice, this is a great EP. This is almost certainly will be on my year-end albums list. And shout out Ice Spice for showing up for the 50 Rappers Project.
Yeah.
Such a thrill to have her in there. I do have a question though.
My EP on this list, Baby Tricks.
Woo! Truly. First of all, when the clips of her started going viral.
Yep.
Look, we understand that like pop eats itself constantly. This is actually part of Ice Spice's entry in 50 rappers.
Talking about influence.
Right. And never saying anyone's name, but sort of being like, well, I've seen clips of people like taking parts of what I do and feeling a way about it. But then I realized like I took parts of other people and like that's just a cycle. That's art, what baby. Art is. Literally said, that's just what art is. Don't sue. No one sue anybody.
Yeah.
If you're in this, in this loop. That said, this is wild.
Yeah. So we should play like one of the early TikTok clips.
Yeah.
Baby Trix is a Spanish rapper. I believe she's from Barcelona. Mm-hmm. She started going viral on TikTok, I guess, probably late last year, 2022.
I don't remember. It was, it was either late last year or early this year.
And there was a snippet, I think called Bambi, that had a little moment. Mi novio se cree que es rapero, lo que es mamá güey. Mi novio cree que es mi novio, pero no es mi novio entero, porque tengo otro novio que era mi novio primero. Since then, she's come out with the Trickstar EP.
Yep.
There's a lot of Ice Spice flows on this EP.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, but it's sexy drill. It's sexy drill.
The sexy drill is coined by Nicole from Talking the Town. Drill media outlet, Talking the Town. Nicole talked to me for the Ice Spice piece and tried to contextualize her in the bigger drill scene. And she called her sexy drill, which now there's a lot more of it. What's actually striking
is double. The genre has doubled.
Maybe it's tripled or quadrupled. But yeah, it's growing exponentially.
But there are a few little tweaks that she has, I think, on this. She tries a few other flows outside of the Ice Spice box. And the lyrics are like even a little bit funnier, like a little bit more caustic, a little sharper, a little more explicit.
How good is your Spanish?
It's I can understand a lot, but also I can get a lot of
Joe's half Dominican, like just like, you know, this is like doesn't come up a lot.
Yes.
You know, Joe's Dominican side.
Yeah.
Joe was cut from Aventura. Like,
yeah,
right.
True.
They cut it down. He's the last guy who didn't make it. I'm so sorry.
And she does a little bit of Spanglish too, which I like. So there's like a whisper flow on the song Ah that I think is cool. So let's listen to a little bit of Ah. This is produced by Diddy Broker, who I think, as far as I can tell, is like a producer on the internet, like a type beat.
Like a YouTube
producer,
guy.
A YouTube guy, but did a lot of the beats on this project. And I think they're great. Like V's, there's a Law and Order flip on the first song.
It was a funny moment. Like, obviously, people have flipped Law and Order before. There's many games.
Works every time.
Yeah, it's like there's you know, Cameron with the ESPN Sports Center thing. Yep. You know, it happens a lot. There's even the thing in the 50 Rappers thing where Cool Keith is like, there was a period of time where everybody was ripping off TV show themes. It's like 86. Yeah. So it's like, it never fails.
Yeah, it never fails.
That should be a sidebar. 50 theme songs that have been ripped off for great rap songs.
Yeah, maybe we'll make a playlist. And then there's a little bit of, you know, trying out a sort of pop introspection on this. So maybe we'll just go out from this portion with a little bit of Lo Siento Mama. Nací en el hospital del mar y mi padre estaba por ahí pinchando, seguro que empastillado. Y yo ahí naciendo, ¿sabes? Saliendo de un coño, literal. Me lo has hecho pasar fatal, pero ahora soy un soldado. Mi corazón está hecho de metal. Mi novio es un soldado, estamos hecho tal pa' cual. What else you got?
We talked a little bit about Bailey Zimmerman a couple weeks back. I said I was sitting on something. This is why I knew we were going to be talking about it. Spent the day with Bailey a couple months ago in advance of the album. This is his debut album. It's called Religiously the Album. Bailey is on tour. He's on the Wallen tour right now. He is becoming, I'd say, the most promising singer in the post-Wallen mold. A lot of raw vocal talent. Also, his story is like came together very, very quickly. Let's listen to, before we get into a newer song, this is Rockin' a Hard Place. Rockin' a Hard Place.
Smash.
An absolute, one of my favorite songs of last year. Just an incredible hit. Classic country, like, it's a rock and a hard place, but it's a rock. And, go off, boy. You do that. This is Rockin' a Hard Place. We've been talking about forever since we've been together. Something battering makes you think we're better off with all this, but we're caught in between a rock and a hard place. Red wine and mistakes, tears rolling down your face when I walked out that door.
Did you see, I don't remember if we talked about this, Rock and a Hard Place played a little bit of a role in the Miami Heat locker room as they made a run to the finals.
No, I didn't.
Jimmy Butler, the Heat star.
Oh, I
professed fan of country music.
Yeah.
It got like he's the alpha, so he gets to pick the locker room music a lot.
And he played Rock and a Hard Place.
And there was an interview with one of his teammates where he was like, yeah, he's always playing us this Nickelback. And he's like, but then you listen to the lyrics and it's pretty deep. Something about a Rock and a Hard Place. But I was like, yes, it is true that Nickelback is the most influential band on the two biggest country stars of the moment, Bailey Zimmerman and Morgan Wallen.
Did I keep the anecdote in the Bailey Zimmerman profile that Chad Kroeger flew him to Canada on his private jet to hang out and write songs?
I think so.
That's in there, right? Yeah.
And Wallen shares a producer with Nickelback. There's a lot of Nickelback coursing through mainstream country right now.
Nickelback, a great band. I don't need to have Nickelback revisited to tell me it's a great band. First of all, if you have a Nickelback t-shirt in XL, I would love to see that. Wow. I recently picked up a Hinder t-shirt. If we're really going to be revisiting this era, like, we're going hard. The Hinder t-shirt I got, you saw it, right?
Yeah.
With them throwing money.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Another influential band on this crop of countrymen.
Undervalued. First of all, you can get those shirts for $12 on eBay.
Like, wow.
Very undervalued.
Wow.
Buy low, sell high. Bailey Zimmerman's album is very good. It's very tactile in its emotionality. I think he has a very, very powerful voice. It's scarred. It's broad. It projects. He hasn't quite figured out how to do the thing of like, how do I pull that in? Like, how do I and bring it down? And then really, like, that's still, most songs kind of follow like a familiar, like a similar arc and in vocal intensity. But let's listen to a song that I don't think is a single, called Warzone, which is very moving. I think Bailey Zimmerman's going to have a really long career. I think he is, it happened so fast that it still feels a little, like I'll talk to people who pay attention to country music who are still a little bit like, I've heard the name, but like, I'm not sure it's registering. And like, I think we're going to hit a thing with Bailey Zimmerman in like a year or 2 years, not dissimilar to what you see with like a Luke Combs or like how Luke Bryan was in peak Luke Bryan, where there's like, for Bailey Zimmerman songs. Yes, I know, like, country music radio is terrible. But like, if you put that to the side, the person who people are going to point to in like a year or two would be like, country radio is terrible because it always plays four songs by ... That's going to be Bailey Zimmerman in like 18 to 24 months.
Approaching inescapable.
Yes. We're going to close out. You want to close out on a weird one?
Yeah, we're going to close out on a weird one, especially for me and for us. Like, you know, we're not often talking about a lot of indie rock on podcasts, especially on Podcast Deluxe.
But here's your chance. Convince, what, aren't there podcasts that are like, convince me.
Convince me this is good.
Yeah.
You know, bro. Right.
Convince me.
Here's what I'm going to say. Sometimes you want the familiar. Sometimes you want a security blanket.
Can't relate.
Sometimes you want music that tickles a part of your brain that you don't access all the time. You know, what I'm talking about, nostalgia a little bit.
It's a terrible drug. It's a hell of a drug.
This band Bar Italia, not Italian.
We know that for sure.
Yeah, British. I mean, maybe, you know, there's heritage.
Italo-British.
Yeah. This is a British indie band signed to Matador. The album's called Tracy Denim.
Great name. You ever seen a Tracy Emin installation?
Yeah.
So moving.
Yeah.
So great. Love it.
Classic stuff.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Came out this spring.
Yeah.
It's very moody, little shoegazy. This was my evening wind down pandemic music, which, you know, we were all in a weird place, but Cocteau Twins got me through a time. And this reminds me of that. There's a little beach house in here. There's a little Cure in here. Big summer for the Cure, I've heard.
I heard the tour of the summer.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but heard great things.
That's a birdie on my shoulder told me it's the tour of the summer.
Sort of enigmatic band. I think they didn't really let themselves be known on previous projects. They're sort of coming out of the shadows a little bit, but they're still in the shadows. Male, female vocals, trading off, nice production. Something really old school about this album. It's like 15 songs coming in at like a tight 44 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, like just classic. Like, yeah. Classic. Like
it's like getting Merge Records promos in 2006.
Right. We don't get those in the kind of music that we spend most of our time listening to.
The albums that we get are literally either 12 minutes long or 1 hour and 43 minutes long. Yeah. 44 minutes? Yeah. It's unthinkable.
Yeah. So I like to just let this one play sometimes. There's a song on here called Yes, I Have Eaten. Yes, I Have Eaten So Many Lemons. I Am So Bitter. But I think the R is cut off. So it's like bitter.
Bitter?
Yeah.
Is that like Danish?
Bitter?
Does that translate to something?
I don't know. It's a very emo song title, both in length and in sentiment. This sound can warm my heart.
Let's check that out. Let's check it out.
All right. We can't go out on moody indie rock.
You got something?
No. I got a snack.
Oh, phenomenal.
All right, John, where'd you bring this home from?
I feel like this is from France trip number one.
Right. That was a blur.
This is, you know, books will be written in the future about my 2 week sojourn back and forth and back and forth to Paris.
This is
somewhere in there that made it into my suitcase. Yeah.
Okay. So this is Scooby-Doo
or Le Scooby-Doo?
Luti? How would you say that?
Luti Scooby-Doo.
This looks like some neon gummy spaghetti with no gelatin.
Sans gelatin. If it's no gelatin, what's in it?
I think that makes it vegetarian.
It's like chickpea? Like made from tofu?
I'm just...
This is like we become like food TikTokers where we're like, look at it stretch.
Yeah. I mean, this is...
Just, yank it out. Yeah, I'm just yank going. It out. I'm one of each color.
A little bit of that Ari color. This is stringy, gummy.
Are they multiple flavors?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do one at a time.
This is my style. It's what I like. Basically a sour straw with no sour. Delicious.
First of all, it's really... Can I just...
I mean, I would just take a bite. I would just take a bite of the core.
Extreme sicko mode. You know, you're extreme sicko mode.
It's like a gusher without the gush. It's like a... You know, a fruit by the foot in a different shape. This is just pure gummy delight. Smells great, tastes great. This is my ideal kind of candy.
Also sans gelatine. I like this a lot. I like the sort of berry-ish, like the fruity, like those kind of flavors a little bit better. I'm gonna go solid 8 on this.
Yeah, I'm saying 8.5. Mm-hmm. It'd be a 9 or a 9.5 if it was sour.
Shout out to the French.
Yeah, delicious.
And shout out to you. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. John and Joe, Podcast Deluxe. Type Podcast Deluxe into your search bar.
On YouTube.
Or anywhere there's a search bar.
But especially on YouTube.
Maybe take some screen grabs and then in your phone search bar, type Podcast Deluxe and see if they come up. Get in the Discord. Get in the Facebook group. I'm actually really curious. We got some emails. We didn't do an email this week, but we got some emails advocating for certain like albums of the year thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to hear a little bit more of that. Maybe there's a Discord thread that can start.
Yep.
tinyurl.com/podcastdiscord/podcastfacebook for either of those things. You can subscribe to podcast audio version where this also appears. Anywhere you get audio, that's Apple, Spotify. You can also access normal podcasts on the New York Times Podcasts YouTube page. We are on the New York Times main YouTube page. Email us your questions, podcast@nytimes.com. We're here. We want to help you. We want to solve your problems. I think we're out. Our producer, Sawyer Roque. Our executive producer, Leslie Davis. Thank you, as always, to Karen Gans and Pedro Rosado.
Noglogly? How could we forget?
First of all, if you knew what was in this studio right now, courtesy of Noglogly...
We're going to do meet and greets someday.
Oh, man, it's going to be out of control. We'll be back next week sitting exactly where we are right now.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.